Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 21. Luke chapter number 21 this morning. We are going to be looking at living under pressure, living under pressure. Let me give you the, well, we'll talk about that. according to experts, how many of y'all know I'm not considered an expert? I'm not considered an expert of nothing. But according to experts, one of the 21st century's biggest problems is pressure. Living under pressure. If you're going to live in this world, there will be pressure onto you. Look at what the Bible says in Luke 21 in verse 25 and 26. The Bible says, and this is talking about the Lord's coming again, His second coming. It said, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. You ever wonder what's, I mean, look, you look around and go, what in the world are they thinking? You know? And so, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Verse number 26 said, men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And so there's going to be, as we get closer to the coming of Jesus Christ, there's going to be a lot of pressure on us. And life just, you know, life just is full of pressures anyway. Now, here's the funny thing. Think about, in our lifetime, all the things that they have made that was designed to what? Alleviate pressure. I mean, how many would like to go back in the age where you didn't have a clothes washer and dryer, where you were washing by hand and hanging out clothes? Go back before they had a microwave, before they... How would you like to have to cut firewood to have a fire to cook in and stuff? That's why they had summer kitchens and winter kitchens and stuff, and everything they were designed to do to alleviate pressure. Did it alleviate pressure? Actually, to the truth be known, washing clothes would probably what? Release pressure. Cutting firewood releases, I mean, really, doing physical activity a lot of times, and so we've taken away a lot of the physical activity of life, and so it just gets more and more and more. So they haven't, the achievements of the age haven't really increased the pressures of daily life at all. you know, it used to take us forever to travel from the East Coast to the West Coast. Now we can jump in an airplane and be there. I like what I was reading one guy this week. He said, we could be there quicker than it took them older guys to hook their oxen up, you know, to the wagon. We can be there, but then we got jet lag, you know, with the time change and all that other stuff. So there's all kinds of pressure in the world today. And now, are we going to be able to eliminate pressure? No, you're not going to be able to take it away. So you got to learn to what? How to handle pressure. And we'll look at some things this morning that I hope will be a blessing to you, because pressure's coming in our life. And I believe as this passage of Scripture here is talking about the coming of Christ, the closer we get to the coming of Christ, the more pressure there is that's going to be on us today. So let me give you a definition of pressure, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Webster says the state of being squeezed or crushed. Now, that's physical pressure, but when you're under emotional pressure, don't you feel like you're in a vice sometimes? Emotional pressure causes all kinds of things. Most panic attacks are caused by pressure. People just not knowing how to deal with things. Now, I have had a couple of panic attacks. I think I've had two my whole life. I still remember the first one because I was like, what in the world? Everything went black. I couldn't breathe. And it was a horrible experience, but there was a lot of pressure on me, and I let the pressure become bigger than it should have. And so it says that. It says that which affects the body, or notice, or depresses the spirit. And so the pressure I'm talking about is not out. I mean, it's the pressure that affects us on the inside. Any severe affliction, distress, calamity, or grievance. Any of those things can cause pressure, and it causes urgency, as the pressure of business. If you own a business and we're in a hard... Yeah, Miss Pam says, yeah. Miss Pam says, amen, I know exactly what you're talking about. How would you like to... I mean, can you imagine a business today hiring employees in this day and age where people do not know how to work? Yeah, you know, it amazes me how many people that don't know us compliment us on our children's work ethic. On Julie at Cracker, the guy at Cracker Barrel asked Julie, he said, is there any more in your area that work like you do? She said, well, I know of two that will, but you probably can't hire them because they're 14 and 13. You know? And he said, you know, I wished I could hire your brothers if they work anything like you do, because we haven't taught our children how to work. So if you own a business and trying to find people that will work, boy, I tell you what, you know what bothers me about people that work? Let me just get on my little soapbox. That ain't my job. You know, I hate that ain't my job. If a guy has paid me to work, then I will do whatever he asks me to do if it's not immoral or, yes, ma'am.
You know, people don't even change anymore.
No. If it's only, yeah. You know, I've almost quit. I've almost quit with young people, especially. With young people, especially, if it's $9.21, I'm not going to give them a 20 and 21 cents because they like panic. What are you doing? You know, I read in Reader's Digest one time a guy went into McDonald's and he looked at the board and he said, I think I'll have some chicken McNuggets. And she said, would you like, what is it, 6, 10, 20 something? He said, I'll have a half a dozen. She said, can't have a half a dozen. 6, 10 or something. He says, you mean I can have 6, but I can't have a half a dozen? She said, that's exactly right. He said, okay, I'll take 6 then. It's just, we live in a day and age. It's just crazy, you know. And so with the pressures of business, you know, there's a lot of things that cause pressure and stuff. So we're going to talk about this in a minute. We'll look at some proof of that. But let's pray. Father, every person in this room has pressure in their life. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to learn that the pressure is going to be there. But Lord, what's important is that we learn how to handle pressure. And Father, I pray that you'd please help us with that today. There may be somebody here today that's under more pressure than they've been under in a long time, and they feel like they just can't take it anymore. I pray that this lesson today would be a help to them. And for those of us who aren't under that much pressure just right now, then I pray, dear God, that you would help us when it does come, because it will come. Bless and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're talking about that. Now, we have different terms for what pressure causes today. Some people call it a nervous breakdown. Some people call it burnout. Those are fairly new terms in our language. We have a living language, so words change. Y'all pray for Alan. He has a real hard time with this changing language because he just can't get over the word. Y'all, can I tell you what the word ain't is today? It is today. It made the dictionary. Once it makes the dictionary, guess what it is? It's a word. Now, you can fight it. Alan can fight it until the day of his death, but guess what? Ain't going away. I mean, my whole life we grew up, ain't a word, ain't a word. And, you know, and even say it, you know, but it is. It's a word today. So you can continue to fight it as long as you want to, but unless you're as far-reaching as the Webster Dictionary, you're just not going to make it. So, but these are new words, and we're constantly having new words come up. Good night. Can you imagine? Let me go back 20 years ago and tell you one of these days you're going to be tweeting. You know what I'd have said? I don't know what it is, but I ain't never doing it because I don't even like the sound of it. Going to tweet, going to Snapchat, all of these words that just come up. So these nervous breakdown and burnout are fairly new words. I really, you know, you didn't have near as much nervous breakdowns and burnouts back in the old days. You know why? People didn't have time to have them. They had to cut the firewood, split the firewood, had to go to the well, get the water, pump the water. They had to wash the clothes. I mean, they didn't literally have time. I think a lot of our problems today is we have too much time to sit around and think, do nothing and use and think. And boy, I tell you what, you can think yourself into a horrible situation, can't you? So what are some indicators of that? Well, guess who some of the wealthiest people in the world are today? Psychiatrist. Everybody goes to the psychiatrist. I love my one of my favorite episodes of Beverly Hillbillies is when the psychiatrist starts to examine the Clampets. I think every psychiatrist ought to get some Clampets in his life, you know. But they're, and you know, there's a difference. I do a lot of counseling. But my goal in counseling, you know what my goal in counseling is? To quit counseling you. That is my goal. My goal is to get you to the place to where you don't need counseling. But guess what a psychiatrist's goal is? He wants you on a regular schedule, coming in all the time so he can help you with your problems. He really doesn't help you a lot with your problems. You know what helps the most is you get a chance to unload, and that helps sometimes, doesn't it? You know, but we see that. Psychopathic killers. Listen, take away all of the guns in the world, and guess what people are going to do? They're going to kill you with something else. Knife deaths and knife crimes in London, which doesn't allow you to have guns, knife crimes are up 80%. Now, of course, you know this, right? You know this from America. You know this. It's a whole lot better to get killed with a knife than with a gun. Y'all know that, right? Does that make sense to anybody? You know, to be honest with you, if you're going to kill me, I'd almost rather you shoot me. Shoot me somewhere where I won't feel it. You know, don't stab me. And that, you cut yourself. You know what? That hurts. Even a little paper cut. But what's the problem with the killers out there? You know, most of the killers, you know what they want? They want to die. That's why in most of the events that happen, guess what happens to the killer? They get killed. You know, they want to die, but they cannot take the pressures of life. Suicides are up. Parent runaways. What's that mean? How many of you know parents that just don't live up to their responsibility of being a parent? They run away. It's exactly right. They escape into drugs. They escape into alcohol. They escape into all sorts of things. So there are problems with it. So what does pressure produce? What does pressure produce? And number one, on the physical side, or we'll call it the system, the physical side or the system. It's a physical response to pressure is often seen in heart-related problems. You say, what's wrong with my heart? Why do I have heart problems? Because of pressure. The Bible says this, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Listen, if you will, is there negative things in life? Man, I recommend, there's one guy, I tell him, you need to turn your television off. You don't need to watch any more news. I can watch news I'm not going to lay awake at night with all the crazy things going on. And can I tell you, there are some crazy stuff going on. In Wisconsin recently, they tried to put a tax. Now, they didn't call it a tax. They called it something else on a church. These several cities did this to tax the churches. And they established property taxes on the churches. Do y'all know the property tax in Florida, Illinois is pretty high? Do y'all know that? We were looking at, when we got here a few years ago, we were looking at maybe buying a place down south in Wayne County. And the place we were looking at buying years ago, we looked at it, we prayed about it and thought about it. God didn't lead in that direction. But we said, well, what about the taxes? And this is no kidding, 5 acres of ground, 4-bedroom, I think, place, and a pole barn garage, and then a barn, 5 acres of land, and the taxes on it was, I think, 8 cents a year. And you could pay that in 2 installments if you wanted to. It would cost more for the stamp than the taxes, but that don't happen. In Florida, Illinois, the taxes are really high. Now, let's say that they put property taxes on churches. What do you think the property taxes on this church would be? Because this church would probably today be valued, well, on our taxes, it's up around $1 million for the buildings and stuff. I mean, it's pretty high. Do you know what the property tax on that would be? It would be the biggest payment we have, you know. And so they did that. They were literally going to put a church, this church in Wisconsin, they were going to put it out of business. you know. And so you read stuff like that. It's the day is coming where they're going to do that, I think. And you say, what are we going to do? Well, if we can afford it, we can pay it. If we can, I don't know what we'll do, you know. Meet at home, meet in a barn, meet somewhere, you know. But it's really crazy at the laws they're trying to pass. I can't remember. There was one state where they tried to pass a law that if you were calling a pastor and you had this man in and you just loved this man, you thought he was God's man for the hour, and then at the last minute you found out he believed it was okay for men to marry women and men to marry men and women to marry men, and you did not hire him for that reason. Yep, he could take you to court and sue you for everything you got. Now, here's the blessing. Those things were beat in court so far. But do you think the left's going to give up? No, they're going to keep hammering. And so, I'm not going to lay awake at night worried about if they ever start taxing Calvary Baptist Church. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to lay awake tonight and worry about CDL license, you know. you just can't do that stuff. But there is a physical response. And we saw that there in verse number 26. Man's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. You know, so that's the physical or the system. Then you have the program. The program or your schedule. Man, you know what? If you're not careful, you can schedule yourself to death, can you not? The routine responsibilities of life. And so that entails a lot of things. Number one, what about your job? It could have your job could have a lot to do with that. We had a lady who used to come to our church who taught school, and she taught up north somewhere. And so she had to have a place up north, and she would come home on weekends, and the family would be without her over the weekend and stuff. And that was tough on a family, you know, with them not being there and stuff. Sometimes people have to drive a long ways to get a job. I read a really neat article just recently about a guy who owned a very popular restaurant of some kind. I can't even remember the town it was in, a very popular restaurant. And he was pulling into his restaurant parking lot. It was a snowy, wintry day. And there was a guy walked by, and he said, hey, can you tell me where this place is? And the guy said, well, it was a large city. He said, that's all the way across town. He said, in order for you, you'd really need to take a bus to get there from here. And the boy said, well, thank you very much, and started walking in the direction he told him. And the man drove off a little ways, and there he stood, that guy walking. He turned over, and he said, you know, it's a long ways. You really need to get on a bus. And the man told him, the young man, he said, I just can't afford it. I don't have any money. Come to find out, it was a young man who had quit school to stay at home and take care of his siblings because his mother had died. And the guy was, he was going to walk. I think the total from where he lived to where he was going for a job interview, walking for a job interview, was 11 miles. Well, now let me ask you a question. What if he had got the job? How was he going to walk 11 miles to work, work a shift, and walk 11 miles back? But the man was so impressed with him that he gave him a job in his restaurant, which was way closer to his house. But sometimes there's a commuting problem with a lot of things that the work demands and the conditions. Then you have home duties. That's not easy, is it? Keeping a home that honors the Lord and everything, and even that can cause problems. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6. And so most people, you have a job and you have a home, and that brings pressure. And then guess what Pastor Evans tries to do to you? He tries to put more pressure on you and tells you that you ought to serve God and you ought to be doing something for the Lord. Look at what the Bible says in Mark chapter number 6 and in verse number 30. The Bible says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So here they are. They've been out serving the Lord. And what has Jesus said? And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Any of you ever been there? Where you just almost literally didn't have time to grab you to eat. You grabbed something on the go so that, you know, and just kept going. And it said they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And when Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And so, you know, the ministry can be a pressure if you let it. It's a pressure on me, you know. It's a crazy week this week. We had our first, second, and third grade teacher move to Texas. They doing all right? I heard they got there well and doing all right. And then we had Charles, the adult Sunday school teacher. He's out of town. Miss Diane is with him. She's out of town. And so just the one Sunday, we have three Sunday school teachers that are, boom, they're gone. And so we just cancel services. That's not what we do. You know, somebody has to pick up the slack and to take up and to do those things. And so my wife is teaching Sunday school. We put the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade with the teenagers today, and everything works out according to, but you know, it's just what we do. But even the ministry will bring pressure on your life. And so there's all sorts of directions that the peer pressure comes, and a lot of it has to do with our program or our schedule. And then, of course, there's peer pressure, and that's the social pressure. And that's hard, isn't it? And not just for kids either. Sometimes we think of it just being for kids, but it's hard on some adults. It's hard on young adults. Pressures to conform to fashions and philosophies. I like what Charles Spurgeon said years ago. I can't even remember. I was reading one of his sermons, and he was talking about dress. Now, remember, this was 1800, somewhere between the late 1800s, early 1900s. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, the world's fashions come out of Paris, and Paris's fashions come out of hell. That was when? 1900. That he was talking about that. What do you reckon Spurgeon would do if he could come back into the world today and see what's going on today, you know? But there is pressure to conform to the fashions and the philosophies of the world. You know, there's a lot, there's pressures for some people. There's pressures amongst preachers, you know? You go to some of these, you know, go to some of these meetings, you know, and you look at the preacher that, and you know he's wearing a several hundred dollar suit. He's got on fancy cufflinks. You know, he's wearing expensive shoes. You say, what about our preacher? yard sale or country closet, you know? I got on old man shoes now. I swore I'd never wear these shoes. Yeah, I swore I'd never wear them. They are comfortable. And you know what? If I need to take them off, that is so nice, you know? I said, I know why those old men wore them. You say, well, what's your problem? Well, I'm becoming an old man. But I never have really. Listen, I don't need, nor have I ever had a $500 suit. I've never had a $300 suit, I don't think. You know, I think the church gave me $300 one time to go buy a suit, and I bought a really nice suit, and I wear it. It is a nice suit, a 200 and something buck suit. But because they gave me $300, I was able to buy two shirts and some socks, too. You know? I've got friends who they don't have a cheap suit in their closet, you know. But it doesn't, I mean, really, seriously, I don't have to keep up with everybody else, you know. Look, I know bald people who wish they had my hair. And you know what I wished? A guy said, "How you got that hair? Why do you cut it off?" Because I don't have to mess with it when I get up in the morning. You know, when I get up in the morning, go look in the mirror, it's ready to go. That's exactly right. You know what that is? Less pressure. Less, do what? Convenient. Less pressure in life. So there are pressures to conform to fashions and to philosophies and stuff. There's pressures on some people to conform to a standard of living. Is your house as nice as my house? Is your cars as nice as my cars? You know? You know, you think really when we get to heaven, God's going to say, okay, all of y'all that had expensive houses, stand over here, and all of you that had the cheaper houses. It's all going to what? One of these days, the nicest house in America, you know what it's going to do? It's going to burn. It's exactly right. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a nice house. But if you ever wondered, people are weird, aren't they? Here's a couple, they get married, and they have children. I had a friend of mine that they lived in a modest three-bedroom house their whole life, and their kids both were at the age where they were fixing to get married, and they went out and bought the biggest house you ever saw in your life. It was crazy huge. One of their children was already engaged and the other one was in a serious relationship. Within 18 months, guess who was living in that huge house? Just them. Yeah. And I, even back then as a young Christian, I wondered why, because they had a big home, you know, big where you could come in for and see the house. And it was beautiful. It was crazy. I mean, this guy's room that he kept his guns in was bigger than any bedroom that I ever had, you know. But there's pressure to conform to standards of living if you let it. There's pressure to conform to success indicators or what is successful. What is successful? Well, what is successful in the ministry? I'll look at mine. For some people, it's having the bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, if that's true, what about Jesus? When did Jesus have his bigger crowds? In the beginning. At the end of the 3.5 years, how many people met in the upper room? Just a few disciples. Now, I'm not saying you can't have bigger. And our goal is to reach everybody. I was talking to somebody yesterday and told them, they were talking about bringing young people in. I would love to have young people in. But if I've got to change what I believe to have young people in, for me, success is the closer that I adhere to what Jesus wants and what God wants. And so there's those kind of things. And like I said, this is true in the world as well as in the Christian circles. But Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know why you need a renewing of your mind? Because if you're trying to serve God in the flesh, then you've got to look good. You've got to maintain this certain standard. Did Jesus maintain it? The Bible says, you know, they said, we want to follow you. And Jesus said, you know, the birds of the air have their nests, the foxes have their holes, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Are you sure you want to follow me? Because it's not the same. So we have the peer or the social pressure. We have personal pressure for some people. Now this can go, there's people that go to either degree of this, you know, personal or self pressure. Some people set unobtainable goals. Is there anything wrong with setting goals? No, probably more of us need to set more goals. But we don't set goals we cannot reach. And some people, you know, make unnecessary vows. We have to be careful that we resist the old nature. Hebrews chapter number 12 and in verse number 4 reminds us of this. Listen, it says, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We're going to have to battle ourselves if we want to not have the pressures of life on us. And remember, no matter how much pressure's on us, how many of you God's asked you to die for him yet? Now, and it is a possibility in our lifetime that could happen as fast as things are moving. But as of right now, God has not asked any of us to die for him. And so it's that way. Let's see. And then we have principality. Look at what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Satan, you think Satan wants pressure on you? Absolutely he wants pressure on you. In Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 11, the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high place. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. What is he talking about there? He says, spiritually speaking, Satan is trying to knock you off your feet. He's trying to blow you off your feet. He's trying to put enough pressure on you to where you what? Where you just quit. That's what he wants. And a lot of people quit because of the pressure. Now, does that mean, as we've talked a lot about the negatives, does that mean pressure is always a negative? I mean, you know, it'd be impossible to live with a world without pressure. And I've got some things listed here. Sometimes pressure produces good things, progress. Have you ever tried to sail before? I've tried windsurfing, where you stand on a surfboard and you have that. Man, that is so much fun when you're heading with the wind. And I was in, I was in Okinawa, Japan, and we went to this kind of resort thing, and they had those. And I was watching them. I sat up there watching those guys do that, and I thought, man, that looks like fun. And you could rent one. So I went and rented one, and I jumped on that thing and fell about 400 times, it feels like. Finally, I caught the wind, and the wind blew me straight down the beach. Man, that was so much fun. But then guess what I needed to do? I needed to go back. And there is a way to do that. But guess what? I don't know how to do it. You know what I would do? I would go so far down the beach, and I would drag that thing back, and then I would go down. I spent all day doing that. I'd like to die that night when I went home. But hey, when that wind filled that sail, man, it was so cool what it would do. And it was a positive thing. It just, if I'd had somewhere to go, it would have been better. Power, it produces power. Steam pressure turns a generator on the old steam engines we had. Planes are kept airborne by aeronautical pressures. Pneumatics made possible by oil and air pressure. What about precious gems? What creates a diamond? Pressure. Pressure creates. You have no diamond without pressure. And so there are some positive things about pressure. When is pressure productive? When it promotes an achievement. You know, how many of you, sometimes you get something done because you have to? Raise your hand. The necessity forces you to do it, and you get it done, and you do it well, and you look back on it, and what do you say? Man, that was great. When it's over. Now, when you're trying to get it done, there's a lot of pressure on you. And that's why... is a deadline a bad thing or a good thing? It's a good thing and that's the next thing. a deadline will keep you from what? Hopefully, procrastinating. How many of you are procrastinators by nature? Yeah, you know it's got to be done. You know it's got to be done on Tuesday, and so you're thinking about it on Saturday, and you say, "Man, I ought to get started on that." You got some free time, but. I'll do this. Then you know you ought to do it on Sunday, and then you know you ought to do it. And then the night before, what are you doing? You're scrambling to get it done. But the deadline, what? Forces you to get it done. And so you just don't want to make the deadline impossible, if you would. And this gets into the important part of it, really, of the message today. Don't have much time to do this. The prevention of undesirable pressure. So what do we do? Are we going to have pressure in our life? Absolutely. So what do? Don't overload. Don't overload. If you drive on a tire that is too low, you know what's going to happen? You're going to bust you can tear up your tire. If you overfill your tire, do you know what can happen? You can blow up. That's exactly right. When you're putting 120 pounds of pressure in a bicycle tire that it's about this big, you know what you do a lot of times? Yeah. You know how scary that is, James? Pow! I'm telling you, it is. It sounds like a gunshot. Your heart stops, you know. Too much pressure. So you want to make sure that you're not doing that. You're not overloading it. How many times have you seen somebody going down the street with all kinds of stuff piled on their little bitty car? And guess what? That's not what it's designed for. And you end up with an accident or something happen with that. And so we have to be careful that we don't overcommit. I know as a pastor, when I first started pastoring in Brigham Hill Baptist Church in Corinth, Mississippi, I really did. I put a lot of pressure on people to do things. I really don't do that anymore because I found out it doesn't work real well. It causes two problems. Number one, you'll get people to commit to something that they really don't want to do, and then you have to make them do it. But number two, people who are sensitive to things and feel like they have to do everything, you will overload them. I don't want the ministry. I don't want the ministry to consume you so much that you're not enjoying the ministry. Miss Diane Biles came up to me the other night before they left. She said, Pastor, I just want to thank you for not making me feel guilty when I go see my grandkids. But do you know that a lot of preachers do make people feel guilty? One of the churches I was a member of before I became a preacher, if you were a Sunday school teacher, they allowed you to be away one Sunday a year. If you weren't there, if you missed any other Sunday, they had the prerogative, and quite possibly you would not have your Sunday school position the next year. But now there's a balance there. But here's what I do. I'm not going to give somebody a Sunday school position if they're gone all the time. You know, it's not going to do it. Because why? If you're not going to be here, then I scramble, you put more pressure on me to try to do that. And look, there's a balance in there of the time that you're away. I think I probably should get away a little more than I do. But you know what? This is just where I want to be. This is where God's put me. And I enjoy being here. So you got to know when to say no. Don't overload. But sometimes you have to unload, don't you? Pressure cookers have release valves on them. You know, there's a lot of ladies that won't use pressure cookers. You know why? They're afraid of them. You know why most of them are afraid of them? Because if you go look in their house, you'll see a big stain on their ceiling where they didn't pay. Listen, if you get enough pressure, guess what's going to happen? It's going to blow. I think it was Miss Vandeveer that doesn't use a pressure cooker because she had one blow on her one time. But you know what pressure cookers are? They're really nice. They got an electric one out now. An electric pressure cooker, which is the cat's meow. Because you can cook food really quick in there. Cook food that you can bake a potato in there really, really quick. You know, it's pretty amazing. We got one. We bought our daughter one for Christmas. They were on sale the other day at Walmart for $39, I think. And the sale went off, and now they're $79. maybe it was $49 and $79. But anyway, they're super nice. But pressure cookers have release valves. Even God rested on the seventh day. Did God need to rest? So why do you think God rested? An example to us. I really think it's really, really nice if you can set aside a day of the week to where you don't have all of the stuff going on. We don't do a lot on Sundays. My family doesn't have, you know, we don't, people have asked me, could you come over and do this? Would you come? We just don't, and look, I'm not telling you have to do it that way. I'm just telling you we have a download day. And it doesn't hurt my feelings. You can come over and say our preachers, you know, to go home, get in my recliner, take off my old man shoes, recline that thing back, and go to sleep. You say, man, it doesn't hurt my feelings at all. I'll lay there and doze and think, but a day like that where you can is an amazing thing that happens. Mark chapter number 6. I'll just read this. The Bible says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while. There are some times. You know, I'm not against vacations. I'm not against people. A matter of fact, I felt so much better when I got back from Kentucky after sitting in a deer stand for a few, you know, just coming apart and resting and doing that. In 1 Kings, we talk about Elijah. And we always make fun of Elijah because after he had called down fire from heaven and Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you, and Elijah ran away, and he ran all the way down to the south end of the kingdom, the Jewish land, and he left his servant there, and he even went further down south. He even left Israel. But you know what he got a chance to do? He got a chance to rest. He slept. The angels fixed food for him, and he slept. Now, whether or not you think he should have been down there, but he did get a chance to rest. So how do we do that? Diversion. Do something different. Have a good time. Hobbies aren't a bad thing as long as your hobbies don't become the most important thing. But hobbies are a good thing to have. I like to hunt, you know. I like to fish, you know. I like to ride a bicycle. I like to walk. I got out the other day. And it was just a, you know, fairly nice day. I just told my wife, I said, I'm just going to get out and take a walk, and ended up walking almost 4 miles, you know. And, of course, one of the most important things we can do is commune with God. Elijah did. Jesus did. And you know what you and I need to do? We need to spend some time communing with God. Let me read you another verse where the Bible says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." To go along with our lesson, "Come unto me, all you that are under pressure." And what has he said? "And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let me give you a good verse to memorize to help you when you're under stress, okay? Because when you're under stress, what are you doing? Normally, are you not worrying? And worry doesn't fix anything. The Bible says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So the pressures are going to come, and then I forget where I got this quote. It says, "We must come apart before we come apart." So, lesson on stress. I hope it was or pressure. I hope it was a blessing to you. I hope it helped you. Yes, ma'am. Spiritual. Don't overload and do unload. Pressure produces and pressure is productive. I forgot to highlight them. I try to highlight on my sheet what I need to go over in your lead, and somehow or another I forgot to highlight them. All right, appreciate you being here. Take a break for a few minutes, be back in here. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all you've done for us. I pray that you would help us to realize that pressures are going to come. But dear God, help us to find pressure reliefs so that we can keep going for you. Bless and watch over us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.